Hi, Justin. This is Gary Keller.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Hey, Justin. I'm great. How are you?
Doing good, doing good.
Good. How's the weather there in Fort Collins?
It's a little chilly, about 32 degrees. Still have some snow on the ground from the weekend, so
Yeah?
yeah.
Yeah? Awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
Hey,
December in Colorado.
there you go, man. Hey, let's start, if you would, by telling me a little about yourself.
Okay. I am Colorado native, lived
Yeah.
here all my life.
Yeah? In Fort
Married,
Collins?
actually in Longmont, just about 30 minutes south. So, married my high school sweetheart and have a new baby that's 11 weeks old right now.
11 weeks.
So, yep, she was 6 weeks early,
Holy
so she's only 8.5 pounds now, and
cow. Oh, man.
so she's what she should have been, but she came a little bit early, so that's kind of personal side. Been doing real estate for about 7 years now. Started out just doing fix and flips. Kind of got tied into trying to get my license to save on the flip side of the commission. Then I started to find other people that wanted to do the same thing, so I was helping them buy properties, and then quit my regular day job and started this. Got into short sales next to kind of try and get the good deals for my investors. At our peak, we had about 150 short sales listed. Started to do a little bit of REO stuff, maybe 8 or 10 of those at any time, and then have transitioned to primarily REO. I'm running anywhere between 100 to 150 listings on the REO side.
And you'll do what this year, volume-wise, do you think? Number of units and volume.
240, 240 sites. And should be, I don't know, maybe 35 million or so.
Awesome. Is that good or bad? You like those numbers, or?
No, my goal was 300
Okay.
sides and about 40 million. As I'm sure you're aware, the banks kind of pumped the brakes there at the end, so kind
Yes.
of not, you know, obviously never a proponent of foreclose on people faster, but unfortunately that all plays a number into my factoring and stuff. So, we're definitely on track to do over 300, and then once they started kind of pumping the brakes there towards the end, obviously our new assignments started to slow down, and
So
we're still.
does that give you pause to maybe somehow counterbalance that a little bit with the retail brokerage side?
Yep, absolutely it does. Since then I just hired my fifth buyer's agent.
Okay.
And so I've kind of transitioned into that and kind of forecasting. I try to always look out 2 years as to what's coming on the horizon, and that's why I got into short sales and kind of became the number one in Northern Colorado for short sales. And then as I saw REO starting to pick up, I kind of transitioned into that prior to, obviously, because you need to set the groundwork first. And now my next move is to get on the buyer's agent side after going to your Mega Agent Mastermind, and some of the guys there and gals kind of slapping me in the face, with the number of units I did, just kind of the standard 1 to 2, buyers per sign call that I should have got. I should have done another 200 buyers, and so that
You
was pretty.
haven't been working buyers.
I haven't. No, we. I have one.
Wow.
I had two buyer's agents. That basically just took my 800 calls, and I did zero to follow up with them. It
Wow.
was just kind of the byproduct, and
Didn't want to mess with them?
didn't want to mess with them. No, I had no intention. I didn't want to take my eye off the ball that was making me good money
I got
and
you.
keep my overhead low on the REO side of things. I have a really strong team. It gives me the flexibility to work Monday through Friday. I'm home by 6 o'clock. I don't work the weekends. And that was something that's important to me. But then after I saw that I left probably in the neighborhood of $700 to $1 million on the table, then I've since rewritten the plan,
Right.
and
Oh,
so
you can
I
still
have,
get on by six.
yeah. So that's well, and that's the thing is I won't be doing the work, but I still need to be leveraging those signs. And
That's right.
I just started a new website, and so we're getting about 200 web leads off of that.
Good. Well, let's break this conversation into two parts then.
Sure.
Let's dive in quickly into the short sale REO side. So you made the commitment to go into short sales just as fast as possible. Tell me how you do that. How'd you do that? What'd you do?
I just basically went out and talked to people that I knew would be dealing with people that were in financial hardships.
Who would that be?
Bankruptcy attorneys,
okay.
Churches that have people that come through to try and talk about hardships, divorce attorneys, stuff like that. Once I had those contacts, I kind of created a wide enough base of referrals that I could kind of start branding myself as the short sale expert in Northern Colorado. And a big part of my business was referral from other agents that weren't getting them closed. So I literally started saying I was the expert in marketing and doing mailers out to all the local agents here in my area.
Wow.
And, got,
so what was the what's the relationship when you do that?
It's just a referral fee back to them.
Okay.
Is all I do. I retain the
And
customer.
What referral fee is that?
I did a 25% referral fee to them.
Okay, gotcha.
And that was after any cost associated with negotiators. That was 25% off of my actual net that I received. So
gotcha.
So I got a lot of people by doing that. We tried working the NED and buying lists. We were pretty successful in that, but you know, we could actually get an agent that could send us 3 or 4 a year instead of a customer that could just send us 1 because they're the only person that was having hardship. So that was pretty much how we got into the short sale side of things and kind of built the team and negotiators and such. And there it was.
So what would be the, not to leave it too quickly, but what would be the key to building a short sale business? What would be the 2 or 3, if I were going to do that tomorrow, what would you tell me to do based on your experience?
I would say give yourself the most knowledge, take a CDPE or something like that, because there is a lot of ways that agents and clients can get hurt in the process. So I think definitely go and interview a couple attorneys to understand the bankruptcy rules. And obviously we're not advising anyone as to what to do, but at least so you know kind of the box you need to work within.
All right, so get the knowledge and know it.
Yep, get the knowledge, know it, and then find some of those key strategic partners that are doing a lot of bankruptcies, doing a lot of divorces. And at that point they should have a fair number of referrals that they could send your way. And then just have lunch and kind of make sure that you're treating them as clients as well to make sure you're at the forefront of their mind when they get those situations.
You know, back in the day, back in 1983 when Keller Williams was started, Joe Williams and I were partners at the time, and what was interesting was that was his strategy. A divorce lawyer. was big. Actually, it was a divorce judge, if I'm not mistaken. And it was a huge source of business. So that's not when you say find those referral sources that can really work with you. You're not kidding. I mean, it can be big business.
And the good thing is you really can't pay them money, and so they don't really expect anything. And so
agents want the job done.
Sure, exactly. They want to solve someone's problem, and they're a hero, so they get referrals.
There you go.
They took care of a problem, but at the end of the day, it's not costing you 25% like some of the other referral sources and websites out there.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Good. All right. What else? So I got the knowledge. I know how to do it. I've got the referral sources lined up. Now what?
And then figure out who's negotiating, I think, is the biggest stumbling block for most people. If it's something you're negotiating yourself, you know, there's a whole nother layer of knowledge that you need to learn. If you can outsource it and have someone else negotiate for a success fee, I never have ever paid for, a fee up front of $500 or $1,000 per file like some of the people charge. I think that's terrible. I think if you do enough volume, you should be able to tell people that you're not going to do that and they'll close enough. So if you're going to outsource it, find someone that you line up with and has a high success rate. If you're going to do it yourself, then, get ready to spend substantial time on the phone and beat your head against the wall, for the lack of a better term.
And what's the one big aha you've had from working the short sale side?
Outsource it. The amount of time it takes you. I got a little bit caught up on the fee structure and 500, 1,000 percentage points, the different structures that people charge for short sales.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so caught up on that money. But then once you actually calculate how much time you put into each short sale, if you negotiate it yourself, you should be able to get, another 1 to 5 more transactions that same time if you spend prospecting and, doing
so what? So
like
what
that.
Are you outsourcing, and to who do you outsource it to?
I have a title company that has an in-house in Colorado. I know each state kind of has their own rules and regulations of who can do what, but
uh-huh.
I have a title company that basically I give them a success fee of $750. plus they get the title policy, obviously, is how they make a chunk of their money, and they negotiate all that. I have an assistant that kind of manages those through Outlook, and we have everything followed up on a calendar in a product called Short Sale Commander. And so we can see what calls are being made, what things need to be followed up on, what things we need, and then let them be the ones that sit on hold and actually dial the phones for us.
Gotcha. All right, let's switch gears for a second. Let's talk this buyer agent side, this lost in, well, you know, back up. Before you do that, you're going to have the leads to give them. Where are the sources of leads going to come from?
Well, I obviously, because I did the REO side of things, I had 100 to 150 signs in the yard. So I had an advantage of that versus the typical traditional realtor. So a lot of those were sign calls, but then that was as far as we took it. Now we're leveraging those into Craigslist postings and, you know, Homes and Land, and trying to get those in other publications to get us leads. I have a website called Conversion that is giving me, I spend $2,000, mortgage broker spends $1,000 of that, I spend $1,000 to co-brand that, and that produces about 200 leads a month for my team.
What is Conversion?
Conversion is, it's similar to Boomtown, similar to Tiger Leads, those systems. Boomtown and Tiger Leads was already taken in my market area, so this was a new system that actually has been set up, and it's a local guy here out of Denver, and if anyone needs help with them, I'd be more than happy to refer them over, try and get them something as far as...
Good. Give us the phone number or something. How do they reach them?
Oh, couldn't even tell you. Conversion.com. It's spelled with a K.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then I could definitely, if people want to email me, I could definitely put you in contact with the owner of the company.
Conversion.com. Got it.
Yep.
All right. Same thing though. It's generating those leads and managing those for you.
Yep. Pay-per-click campaigns to get people to the site. Once it's in the site, putting them on drip campaigns. And then, you know, follow up as far as, you know, updated property lists and stuff like that, similar to other systems that are out there.
Gotcha. Cool. So REO signs to Craigslist, to Homes and Land, to conversion.com. Is that the plan?
Yep, that is. They'll still be working on their own Sphere, which I'll profit on. But at the end of the day, you know, I'll be the driving force behind the leads and then trying to coach them. I think anyone can get a lot of leads, and I think of 200 leads, you could throw 199 of them away if people don't have proper training. And so I think that's something that I'm going to really focus on as far as training modules and practicing scripts, higher level of accountability. So when people get leads, it's actually followed up on to see who's having success. And then another thing that I think is really good is we're going to be doing a lead day instead of just the up system. I think the up system's kind of flawed, where if a lead comes in and they're grocery shopping, they're not going to follow up with it, you know, or if they're at church and they don't follow up for 5 or 6 hours, where each day one person will get every lead, every sign call, every web lead, so that they're sitting at the desk and they can respond to that person in literally a matter of minutes.
Well, let's have a healthy discussion about this for just a second. You know, the industry back in, I would say probably 05, 06, realized, basically because the market took away a lot of the leads, realized that their conversion rates of passing out leads to a buyer agent was dismal. You know, when the top agent did it, they got one conversion rate. When they gave a lead to a buyer agent, they got a lower conversion rate. And as the market took the number of leads away, it became imperative that each one be worked properly. And so you had two schools of thought come out about this, and that was either inside sales or developing a showing assistant with a lead buyer agent. And have you considered either of those?
I have. I've considered the inside salesperson. The lead buyer's agent side of things, I just haven't heard anyone that's really had high level of success. I've talked to a handful of people that have tried it, and it hasn't worked. But it seems like, I don't know.
It's working. It's working.
And that, yeah, I'm sure
it's
there's
working.
People out
the difference
there that have done
it. Well, here's the difference. The difference is, and either way will produce results. The difference is simple. The inside sales is you're basically hiring a telemarketing type individual. They don't necessarily even have to be licensed. They're simply taking a lead, calling someone, and setting an appointment. That's the system. And the argument is to do that is that it's clean, it's crisp, and I'm passing out appointments instead of referrals, and I can pay for that. Instead of passing out leads, and I can pay for it by charging 10-15% more for an appointment to my buyer agent than I could for a lead. And they all understand the value. It's almost as if you had an agent on a 50-50 split, right, the buyer agent, but you turned around and charged a 20-25% referral fee to that individual, just like you're paying back, okay?
Sure.
Yep. Yeah, so it's 25%. And when you take that 25%, you realize that that is going to most likely cover your cost if you have a decent amount of leads.
Right.
The showing assistant side isn't complicated, but it does require you to have a little, and I don't mean this disrespectfully to inside sales, but it does require you to have a bigger vision for your business. The buyer agent, lead buyer agent, showing assistant is trying to organically force the business to become a business that can run itself more. If you think about, let's go back to Millionaire Real Estate Agent Research and all that. What we know is that it only takes three key hires for you to gross and even net $1 million. But those have to be three really awesome hires. They just can't be anybody, right? And it's interesting how many people I interview and I say, well, tell me about your organizational structure. And you'd be shocked. If you go back and listen to Agent Mountain, just listen. And because I ask that question of almost everybody, listen to the answers. You'll rarely hear someone say, well, I only have three people. Well, what do you mean? Well, I have 15 or I have 20 or I have 12 or I have – but I only have three that matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, goose me with a stick. I have no idea why people don't give that answer except that they still haven't come to terms with what real business leverage looks like. And business leverage says don't try to do it all yourself and don't worry about the masses. Worry about the classes. And when you build an organization, don't worry about equality in income. Worry about the inequality of income to the handful of people that will literally run your business.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, there's a difference between hiring developed talent and developing it yourself. All you have to do is go to the sports page in any newspaper in any city in the world and read what major sports teams feel they have to pay for developed talent that they're hiring away from someone else.
Right.
And they will literally mortgage the farm of the business in order to pay those people, right?
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. On the flip side, read about the organizations, right? There was a book written about this called Moneyball. But this whole idea of organically developing people such that the way you do that, their pay increases come naturally and organically based on performance with you, not past performance with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the buyer agent, it's showing system real simple. Tomorrow morning, you would be on the phone. You would either, and you can skip this step, but let's pretend that you're not skipping it for right now, okay? So naturally and organically, what would happen is Justin would say, okay, I'm going to now have all these buyer leads. I'm going to call them all myself, and I'm going to set the appointment. Okay?
Great.
Now, I know you don't want to do that, but let's just pretend that you did. Just pretend that you did for a second. What you would do this, you said, but I'm not putting any buyer in the car. I'm more than happy to call, qualify them, and set an appointment. Okay. So what would happen is that you would then have a showing assistant, a licensed showing assistant, who would be on a commission basis, and you might give them anywhere from 15-25% of the commission, if you will, in order to drive people around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you never put anybody in the car.
Sure.
Your goal would be is that this person would ultimately, and you would do this by giving them a behavioral assessment and by looking hard at them, you would ultimately determine, can this person actually be my lead buyer specialist? If they can, and the goal is if they can't, get someone else.
Right.
Okay. Because you're going to follow the discipline of driving growth through people, not through you, through people. So you're going to hire that person, and now you're going to give them a raise. They're going to get 50% of all they're going to get all the leads that come in. They're going to do all the calling. They're going to sell the appointments. You're going to give the buy side of your business 50% of the commission.
Great.
Now this person can put all the buyers in their car, and they can show them all, and they get all the money. Okay, they get 50%. Or they can hire themselves a showing assistant, and they can pay them any portion of that 50%. Now, what you've just done in one fell swoop, if you've just made this lead buyer specialist the manager of all buyer operations, and it's their call. Do they put people in the car, or do they use showing assistants? Here's what you're going to find out. If you've got the right person with the right behavioral profile, they're going to immediately go look up and go, whoa, if Justin's generating enough leads for me that I can get enough appointments, I could have two showing assistants who could, that I could do 8 or 10 deals a month on average with, 4 to 5 per, let's say 4 is a good average. So let's just say 8 a month for those two, and I don't ever have to put anybody in the car. Oh, by the way, though, if times get tough, I can let one of them go, and I can take back the 4 of those transactions, show the buyers myself, and keep all that money if right. I need to. So I can mix and match whether I put people in my car or not. And let's say I need an extra $10,000 to do something. Great. I just take 3 buyers or 2 buyers, and I just show them, and I keep the extra money. I get to mix and match that any way I want based on how hard I want to work with buyers in the car or not. But I also know that times get tough, and I have to let someone go, I can get those buyer leads back and put them in the car and get the money. So what I now know is I have a job that cannot be duplicated anywhere else. So you go get – see, one of the things you have to realize is that your people, if they're good, are going to get recruited away.
Right.
You want to make people an offer so that they look up and go, I can't duplicate that job anywhere else.
Right.
Now, if I'm an inside salesperson, can I go get that job anywhere else?
Sure.
Oh, anybody. I can get it anywhere, and I can get it in multiple industries. Okay?
Agreed, yep.
Okay. Lead buyer specialist, who, by the way, can mix or match how many people they put in the car or not. Can I get that duplicated anywhere else?
No, very minimal people would have that opportunity.
Yeah, in any other industry either, because the other industries are not going to mix and match it like that. They're going to keep it pure. Okay, so what we do is we want to build a relationship. Look, Mark Willis, my CEO, you understand I've only hired to build Keller Williams. I've only hired less than 5 managers in my life.
Right.
Say it again. Do you know how many administrative people I've hired?
5.
Less than 5 in my life.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Well, I'm not saying it to be impressive, by the way. I can get on Agent Mountain here today and start talking to people, and we'll find agents doing a fraction of what I do in a month. They'll do in a year, and they'll blow through people right and left.
Yep.
And they don't have a life. And I look up and I go, let me tell you something. It's because you're violating one of the basic laws of leverage. You're just adding people instead of developing leaders.
Right.
Okay, that's the only
point. People get too caught up on dollars and cents, and they don't want to pay top talent, and so they get bottom talent, and then they continue the cycle.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. So anyway, both of them work, by the way, inside sales and or showing a buyer specialist with a showing assistant. Either one works, by the way, and you'll hear wonderful success stories either way.
Okay. What disc is inside sales?
Oh, what do you think it's going to be? Usually D. Usually
I was going to say a D, but then you don't want them too high D, or they're going to – Well, I guess if you're paying them enough, they won't go away and do their own thing.
Well, see, that jury, that's a tough call. See, my personal belief is your 3 people need to be DI or ID. Now I'm okay if the administrative person is an SC with a D, with a high D, or a good strong D. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I would prefer to see DI, DI, ID, ID. I'd prefer to see that. If I'm going to get a listing specialist, I still want a DI. If I want a buyer specialist, I still want a DI. Why do I want that?
Because they're still going to be motivated to go and get things done and keep
it's a leadership CEO. It's a leadership CEO graph. That's why I want it.
Yep.
That's it. I want it because I want someone who wants to be that kind of person.
Yeah,
I want to build a business around them. I want to build my business through them so that it ultimately feels like our business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to practice. Look, if you need more people, go get them.
Right.
And then you work on the structure. And then your only issue, once you have those 3 people, your only issue is lead generation.
Right.
You've got to make sure that leads are being done.
Yep.
You get someone who is the perfect administrative person, they'll know more about quality than you.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, Agreed.
Okay. So that's the only point. The difference is that when you meet individuals that finally grasp this simple idea, their lives change forever because they don't get the business back.
Right.
You know, when we go to hire someone, remember, we want to hire someone for a minimum of 5 years, minimum commitment for 5 years. What we'd really like to do is layer in three people that see themselves staying a lifetime.
Yeah, agreed. I think that's most of us, including myself, probably don't have that perspective.
Well, you're not going to get it hanging out with real estate agents that much because they don't have it. And again, you got to look hard at the individuals who's back there doing the coaching or the training behind that, and look hard at their businesses to see if they've actually done it themselves.
Right.
Otherwise, you're not going to get that advice.
Right.
Because you're only going to get it from individuals who have studied it or mastered it or implemented it. Otherwise, they're going to go with the route that worked for them. So there's nothing wrong with inside sales at all, by the way. Nothing at all. We'll talk to top people that use it. It's working for them, and they see no reason to not do it.
Right.
I would simply point out that if we're trying to build a lifetime business and you have the chance today to do it any way you want, I'd go the other route.
Right.
I'd go the route of Fortune 500 companies, which is build in an approach that allows a handful of people to have disproportionate amount of the money in return for being leaders and building your company.
Right.
I don't need everybody incented, do I? I just need the quarterback. Yeah, I just need a handful of people that are incented. And by the way, you don't have enough money to incent everybody equally.
Agreed.
You just don't have enough. NBA teams don't have it. Football teams don't have it. Soccer teams don't have it. Hockey doesn't have it. They don't have it. They don't have enough money to pay everybody equally.
Yep.
There's going to have to be disproportionate, and they're going to have to be able to build an organization so that they have the money to do it and that they make sure that they don't try to make it equal.
Right. Agreed.
All right, well, that's my sermon for the day.
No, that's good.
You're on the cusp of going out and trying to capture another 100 to 200. Find someone whose goal is to go do the 100 to 200 and don't worry about it.
Right.
That's your challenge, is finding that person. And then giving them a reward system where they look up and they go, good Lord, this is like working for a Fortune 500 company. I'm not just working for a real estate agent. I'm not just working with Justin. We actually have a company, and this is a real job. It's a big job. I mean, it's a job I can be proud of, and it's a job that gives me massive flexibility, and which kind of builds in protection to not wear me out, but also allow me, while the kids are in college or whatever, for 3 to 4 years, I might need to take some of those buyer deals.
Right.
You layer your organization such that the people who are really in charge can't really make that big money and can't have that flexibility. They're not building their company.
Right.
Not the way you think they are.
Sure.
That's the challenge.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to let you go. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much for your time. This has been awesome.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.